I'm Jean Tiberio, and I'm a nutritionist and a wellness coach. Welcome to Healing Outside the Box. This is episode 77, and I'm calling it, What the Homeless Are Dining On This Season. But first, I want to tell you that I watched all of the Golden Globes last night, hosted by Ricky Gervais. I know what you're thinking. He goes over the line, poking fun at the rich and famous. But as I've said in a previous podcast, you gotta leave the edgy humor to the professionals. And Ricky Gervais, I have to say, was very funny last night. The two people he jabbed more than anyone else were Bill Cosby and Mel Gibson. And I think they're fair game. And I'm sorry, but you might also be fair game if a reporter walks up to you and says, Oh, darling, who are you wearing? And you respond by saying, Well, so-and-so, of course. For the rest of us, if a reporter walked up to us and said, Darling, who are you wearing tonight? I would have to say, Oh, darling, I'm wearing my skin on the outside. And as for the inside, I'm wearing my microbiome and some disintegrating food. Now, they used to call it our bacteria flora, but that's so passé. And the reporter would say, Oh, darling, your skin fits you like a glove. So fabulous. And so on. Anyway, I also want to say kudos to the Boston people who got nominations and wins. There's Matt Damon, who I believe won for Best Actor and Best Movie for The Martian. Most of you know that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck were Boston boys, but Matt Damon actually grew up in Cambridge. I used to work with a woman who went to high school with Matt Damon, and everyone, including myself, said things like, Oh, was he handsome back then? What was he like? So it's not beneath me to idolize the rich and famous. In case you're wondering, she said, He was just like everyone else. We were all just high school kids. And there you have it. Now, I believe Jennifer Lawrence won for Joy. And although Jennifer Lawrence wasn't raised in Boston, she did stay at the Hawthorne Hotel while they were taping Joy. And the Nathaniel Hawthorne Hotel is just three doors down from where I live. So we snuck up and tried to get a look at the outdoor scenes or Jennifer walking in and out of the hotel. But they had barricades up. And when we walked up to the barricades, the security and the cops looked at us like, You must be joking. Because we wanted to be extras. And by we, I mean myself. I thought, they must need a token wheelchair patron in the background. I can pretend to be elegant, if push comes to shove, I suppose. But no luck being an extra. I guess they're chosen well in advance, even the token disabled ones. But that was a little bit of excitement for Salem anyway, since they were here for several days. Now, Maura Tierney won for Best Supporting Actress. If you haven't seen it, The Affair, even though the title might put you off, it's actually a good show, and I recommend watching it from the beginning. Maura Tierney comes from Hyde Park in Boston, and Hyde Park is like a neighborhood. That's almost like saying Southie. And of course, she's Irish Catholic, like most Boston people are. Steve Carell also comes from the Boston area, specifically Concord, Massachusetts, where if you're a history buff, you would know that Concord and Lexington is where the Revolutionary War started. I just watched a movie with Sam Waterston and Kristen Stewart called Anesthesia. I really recommend that. Now, it's described as a movie that's about the angst of the New York intellectual elite, but it's much more than that. It has a lot of themes running through it. Basically, the Sam Waterston character is a Columbia University philosophy professor, and Kristen Stewart is a very troubled student. They don't have an affair, however. I'm sure you thought that's where I was going. He was trying to help her with her severe depression. Her character is a person they call a cutter, meaning that they intentionally hurt themselves to cause pain. And the way she describes it is that the real pain sensation is something you can focus on, and although it's a certain kind of suffering, it stops your brain from all the psychological suffering that's going on in your head. And I think they also make the point that the great thinkers can also be the ones that suffer the psychological pain. The poor people, on some level, are busy worrying about getting their physical needs met. Food, shelter, staying warm in the winter, etc. Psychological pain seems like a luxury to them, but it's really not. And you'll learn more about that as the movie progresses. It would spoil it to give you the ending, so I'm not going to, but I recommend seeing Anesthesia. And if it moves you in some way, maybe write a review, because it's a good movie, and a lot of people might get turned off by the words intellectual elite. It's really about all of us, and about living in the moment versus planning your future for decades, only to retire and think, well, what now? And also, it's about love, and you don't get a feeling of that until the very end. Now, back to the podcast. For this episode, I spoke to a woman named Tina Curran. Tina volunteers at a local homeless shelter and a food bank, and it's called Haven for Hunger in Peabody, Massachusetts. Unfortunately, the audio was terrible, so I can't play it for you, but I'll just summarize what happened in our conversation. Haven for Hunger feeds about 100 people a day who come in for both a hot meal and bags of groceries. I asked her to explain the process of how one goes about getting food at the food bank. By the way, you don't have to be homeless to get the donated food or a hot meal. The first part of the process is that you apply for a card. It's not so much completely related to income as the SNAP program is. It's related to how many mouths that you have to feed and your mandatory expenses that all get worked out into a formula. Once you're eligible, there's no real limit on what you can have. If they have a lot of donations that day, you'll end up with more than if they don't. So when you go in for a meal, they'll give you maybe a soup, a main meal consisting of the usual meat, potatoes, vegetable, a salad maybe, and a hot drink in the winter. So you get there, your card gets stamped, and then you can basically pick whatever groceries are available that you need. Everything is weighed for record keeping, but if what you want happens to be heavy, that doesn't limit what you get. If you have two or three children, you will probably walk out the door with a decent amount of food, sometimes 70 or 80 pounds worth. Again, it depends on what's there on that particular day. There are strict rules about how long they can keep the donated food, so towards the end of the day, the folks that are volunteering will encourage you to take more because nobody wants to see the food go to waste. Tina explained that there are sometimes waves of people depending on the season. For example, during the holidays, money is tight for most of us folks because people are trying to pay their bills and to be able to afford gifts for the kids. So there'll be more people coming to the food bank for groceries. She also states that there are the regulars. In other words, people that just come in on a regular basis because they are having difficulty getting out of their poverty. We discussed this for a while. In other words, the notion that part of this seems to be that the deck is stacked against them. They don't get a chance for a nice warm shower every morning, new clothes, so they look rather raggedy, and at times their clothes are even soiled. Imagine going in for a job interview looking like that. People that are homeless also don't have a legal address very often, or an email address, which again makes it more difficult to find and keep a job. A lot of these people may not have a cell phone, which seems crazy in this world. Not having a cell phone. I tell the youngins that I work with, you know, I remember a day when there was one phone for six people, and someone was waiting behind you to use it. And they look at me with their eyes wide open. But if you don't have a phone, you also can't Google the location of the nearest Goodwill for used clothing. There's a place nearby where I live called Bootstraps. This place will set you up with clothing and give you some idea where the food banks are and the shelters are located. They'll also donate things to you at times. The problem is that most people need a car to drive there. And then when they get clothes and other items, they also need storage for their clothes. You know, it may also be the case that sometimes people who feel hopeless make matters worse by not being able to get out of their own way. They say to themselves, what's the use? And it's really hard to find a ride to the local food bank and do what you need to do to get out of poverty. Also, the homeless people can't take raw meat from these food banks. They can only take the processed food. Produce will last outside in this weather, but how are they going to cook the things that need to be cooked? Last week it was 7 degrees. Think about what you would need to do to keep warm outside in that weather. Many of us in this country right now, as they say, are one paycheck away from being broke. And to get an apartment in this area, you would need first and last month's rent, which is going to run you $3,000. And I almost can't imagine this, but I've been told that homeless people get kicked off benches by the police. Again, hard to imagine. And Tina also told me that the elderly are coming in more because, again, their fixed income has to be spread over all of their bills, which are rising. And if they've lost their spouse, they're trying to do all of this alone. But let's get back to the good news, because Haven for Hunger is a wonderful place. In addition to the food pantry and hot meals, Haven for Hunger also will share other resources with you. People stroll in there from word of mouth, and they're told they get information where they can find other things that they need. Sometimes these donations include shampoo, soap, toothpaste, diapers, etc., which, if you think about it, can add up in terms of your monthly bills. This is another thing that surprised me personally. I found out through another source that a mother of a 10-week-old child ran out of formula because food stamps and WIC have cut their funding for such things, and they will tell the patrons that they're seen as a supplementation to what the parents already have. In this particular case, the father of her baby took a disappearing act, and again, the baby was 10 weeks old. So what a mother can do in this situation is to combine resources or assistance that she has at her disposal. Haven for Hunger can provide formula, as well as hook you up with the food stamp office and the WIC office, and local churches or Catholic charities that might be giving out donations. Now that the holidays are over, these agencies are not front and center in terms of reaching out for donations. So if people are wondering how they can donate to their local food pantry or shelter, they can simply Google it. Just put in your zip code and type food pantry, and your local food pantries will pop up with their addresses and phone numbers. Supermarkets also give a lot of food, but the food banks always welcome donations of food or money. They need packaged foods or ingredients. Unfortunately, and I tried this, they won't take cooked foods. I tried to give the local food pantry some pasta sauce, and they were not able to take it. But again, ingredients, canned goods, money, they'll all take those and be very appreciative. This particular pantry, and I imagine most of them, will record your donation, the date, the amount, and I imagine it could be tax deductible. But if you're thinking about cleaning up your cabinets and donating cans of food that might be 10 years old, you might want to just throw those away. The sell-by date is the rule of acceptance. So what else can a person do? Let's see. Your local churches can often cook meals. Many of them have approved pantries or kitchens to cook those meals. Volunteers are always needed at the food pantries. Or maybe just take a sandwich and coffee down and pass them out. I actually did that once. I went down to a local store, brought some bread and meats, and handed out sandwiches. I think way back in a previous podcast, I told the story about how someone and I watched a seagull actually taking a sandwich from a homeless man that had fallen asleep. I'll see if I can dig it up and put it in the show notes. Basically, and this is the reason I'm doing this, more awareness equals more donations equals more word of mouth equals more awareness. For example, the Salvation Army is in contact with Catholic Charities, and they're in contact with Bootstraps, the food pantries, and other resources. so they all share information and resources. I was recently having a discussion with my hairdresser slash friend, and she asked me, what do you think right off the top of your head is the greatest emotion? And before I could think about it, the word joy just came out. And she said, but what about love? Because the joy you feel when you're in your garden smelling the flowers or at the ocean listening to the waves, you feel joy. But in the real world, that feeling comes and goes. But she made the point that if you have love, and she just doesn't mean love of your boyfriend, love for yourself, love for everything around you, people, nature, animals, then you feel compassion and you can feel joy. You can feel generosity and be grateful that you can give to others. So she won the discussion, basically, because with love, you automatically get compassion. I remember one of my favorite lines was from a movie with Gregory Peck called To Kill a Mockingbird. And what he says is this: everyone should try walking a mile in another man's shoes. That's good advice. That's all I have for you today. Be well and stay tuned next week for another episode of Healing Outside the Box.